Mr. Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world on the transmitting Joel the Sound, WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you in here. Got a great message for you. We're going to go into a continuation of A Planet in Peril. Now, who plunged the planet into peril? Perilous times. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. We're already in them. And the result is because of Satan. Ever since he fell, the question is, when did Satan fall? Well, we'd have to go back and look at the evidence. You know, on the preponderance of the evidence, and the evidence about Satan is overwhelming. You would be surprised if you're not a Bible student, and I hope that you are tonight if you study with Pastor Buddy, that you have spent a lot of time in the Word and you have paid your dues. And as the Bible said, like be a good Berean of Acts 17, where they searched the Bible daily to see where these things that they were considering were sung. And it means a whole lot for you to know. The Bible said you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and you have to have knowledge in everything that you do. If you don't have the knowledge or you're good at what you do, you're going to fail. You're not going to succeed in the things that Yahweh has got for you to do. Yahweh is a blessing to them that want to have a blessing, and Yahweh, he's actually against those that are against him. And Yahweh loves the cheerful givers of life. In other words, you give out more. You're not an island to yourself. If you know the word, and you don't give it out, you hold it in, or you refrain from giving it. You're not gonna succeed. But if you will. If you will press toward the mark and the high calling, you're gonna solve some of these great mysteries in the Bible. And tonight is no exception. We're gonna get right in here and we're gonna look at the origin of Satan and why that he fell. Satan fell from heaven. It's basically described in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28 and Ezekiel 31. That's the three main chapters that we'll deal with a little bit in the fall of Satan. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. If you was to really be deep in the Bible and study, you would know that the earth became dark and void. In other words, it wasn't created dark and void. And I'm going to give you one good, healthy reason why. The Bible says that Yahweh, in him, is no darkness. He can't create something that's not in him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he created the heavens and earth, and he did not create them in darkness. The earth became dark and void. Now, when Adam came here, the Satan had already failed. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, the sin hadn't. He didn't tempt Eve until, to sin. He didn't actually sin until Eve got here. Long after Adam was here, then came Eve, and then Satan appeared. That's not true. Satan was already a tempter in the world that existed before Genesis 1 and 1. Now, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, and for what is to be has already been. And it starts at Genesis 1 and 1. Nothing is new. This is just a repeat. We're going through a repeat. You ever feel like that you've been here before? And have you ever felt like that you're doing something that you've already done before? Where does the gifts and the things that people have, it seems like it get carried over from one lifetime to another? And if that's true, then there's nothing new under the sun, and Satan's already been here, and he was already a tempter when he come into the garden. He had a plan in his mind. And Yahweh knew that. And we're going to prove that as we get into the pride of the fall. Now, in the book of Job, it tells us that Satan, in Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he said, "Oh, where did you come from, Satan?" And he said, "Well, from roaming to and fro through the earth and going back and forth." Apparently, at that time, Satan was still moving freely between heaven and earth. And he spoke to Yahweh directly and answered for his activities. He had to give an account. And what Yahweh was noticing about Satan was pride. And Satan fell because of that pride. And the Bible said pride goes before a fall. He desired to be God, not to be a servant of God. Notice the many "I will" statements that we're going to cover tonight. I want you to pay particular attention that Satan says, "I will." Well, I will what? I will exalt my throne above his throne. I will. So it was not we, it was always I with Satan. And in this sense, Satan's origin is going to be discussed. He was an anointed cherub. Anointed means to be set apart. Are you set apart tonight for your mission? Are you on a mission? Are you just living and existing till you die and then you don't know where you're going or you don't know what your purpose was? The greatest challenge in life is to find out who you are, where you came from. Because if you don't know where you came from, you'll never know where you're going. Now, the Bible says, and this is the Messiah's statement, "My sheep hear my voice. They've been with me from the very beginning. I am not of this world, and neither are my sheep." Now, the Bible also said that we're strangers and pilgrims. Do you ever feel like it? You just don't fit in here? I mean, you get weary, and your flesh and your spirit groans to be delivered. You want to go back where you came from. Back to the Father, back to the throne. His sons and his daughters are here for a mission. Adam came on a mission. Now listen to what the mission was. He said to Adam, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Replenish means to replace something that existed before. Now, since that he was the supplier to replenish, that means that someone here existed before him. Could it have been that the earth age of Genesis 1 was a repeat of some prior earth age prior to Genesis 1? And that we're going through the motions again, and I'll prove this to you, that the ones that were disobedient in the days of Noah, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, it's revealed that the Messiah came and he died and he descended. Everybody thought he went right back to heaven. He didn't. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. And there he preached to a particular congregation. Now, Satan said, "I will exalt my throne above the congregation." We're going to get into that and show you of the origin of Satan. And then we're going to show you how he's bound for a particular certain amount of time, and then he's going to be loosed again. This is a scenario that we're tying into last night, and we're going to eventually get back to Revelation chapter 20. But I want tonight in particular, I want to cover the origin of Satan and clue you in on what lifted him up and what caused him to fall, where he is now, where he has been, and where he's going to be. These are pertinent questions. The anointed one, it means he was set apart for the divine purpose. It means bestowal of God's divine favor. Set apart. And an appointment to a special place or a function. Yahweh had given Satan a certain amount of power and authority. but he perverted the power, he misused the power, and he exalted himself in an attempt to exalt himself above God. That's what he done. Rather than just being an angel, he wasn't content to be an angel. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. And Lucifer was created perfect in all his ways, but iniquity was found in him, and it was not put there by Yahweh. Lucifer decided in his decision. You see, you can decide right now. Choose this day who you'll serve. Satan decided that he could genetically alter or place his seed into the womb of a woman, and he could get a child, just like Yahweh had in his mind to overshadow a woman and get him a child. Now, a woman was made for the seed to be sown into her womb, and then there was a fruit that would come from that, just like every seed bearing, every plant bearing seed in itself is good for food. Now notice this. That's exactly why that the Bible is written in a code. It talks about two trees in a garden, one good and one bad. She had a choice. Satan gave that a choice to her by opening her eyes. She didn't know she had a choice. She had just been told not to touch or not to eat from the tree in the garden, in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. She was told to leave that one alone. But here he came. Now we know that he was proud, and that he had a son of beauty. 28:12, Ezekiel. Let me read it to you. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, thou sellest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the ox, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and thy pipes was prepared in thee before the day that thou was created. A special, set-apart angel of beauty. He far exceeded every tree in the garden, envied him. Now, this tree is envy. When's the last time you've seen an oak tree and envy a sycamore tree? You just don't. These are code words, as the man that got his blindness is a type. The man that was blind, and Yahweh healed him, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees. He had a spiritual revelation of Genesis chapter 3. In the midst of the garden, there was all kinds of trees in the garden. These trees were angelic beings, and the code word was put in there for the carnal mind to struggle. The Bible says about the scriptures that many struggle with the scriptures to their own death and destruction. To be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. And if you put your time in, if you really want to know, I prayed and fasted and anguished and studied and made notes and got my Strong's back, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. When I started really studying, I got a Strong's and I literally wore it out. Because I knew that if I found out anything and the Strong's was basically all I had in my possession, and I think I'd give about $15 for a Strong's Concordance, probably the best $15 I ever spent, because it gave me some descriptive terms of the Hebrew words that should or shouldn't have been put in. Now the translators, some of them carnal, and most of them evil, to be frankly honest with you. There's nothing wrong with the prophets that writ the Bible. The Bible said they were written by holy men of old, spake as it were moved on by the Holy Ghost. But man came in a carnal setting, and the scriptures would declare that you should beware of the scribes. The scribes were the ones that repenned. You know, when a scroll would wear out, the scribes was charged with the awesome responsibility of tediously copying word for word. Every jot and every tittle was to be put right back in place as it was. Well, guess what? The Messiah realized that the scribes had changed some of the text. And therein lies the dilemma for you and for me, because you can't take the Bible at face value without rightly dividing it, not adding anything to or not taking anything from, but rightly dividing it in the way it was. You see, the translators, in some cases, they added to or took from. That's against Yahweh's law. So Satan was lifted up because of his beauty, and he was corrupted by his wisdom and by reason of his brightness. Remember I told you that the word Barak meant the shining one? I don't know how he got his name. I don't know where some of these mighty ones that rule this earth, I think they set this man up. Now, we know his name wasn't Barak. It was changed. I think it was a deliberate change for you to know that his name means something. And if you'd look into it, just like I said in the first part of last night's message, I told you what the word Barack and Obama meant in the Strong's. I gave you the Strong's number and showed you that the Messiah said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Lightning is shining one. Satan is lifted up because of his beauty, and he was corrupted by the wisdom. He's smart. He can quote scriptures. You ask the Messiah. The Messiah had to do battle with him word for word, verse for verse. Satan would quote a scripture, and Yahweh would have to come up with a pretty good scripture to counter it. And so then, when you get in the ring with a heavyweight, Satan is a mighty heavyweight. He's done his homework. Not only was he the prosecuting attorney to accuse the brothers of sin, and was known notoriously as the accuser of the brethren. You couldn't get into heaven because the accuser was there to bring a mark against you, which he said, well, you've missed the mark. Sin is missing the mark. And no sin, Yahweh done said in his holy word, and it can't be changed, nothing can be added to or taken from. Even his own word is holy. Yahweh himself can't break his own word. So then, Satan, knowing that, holding his feet to the fire, everything that would come back to him, even those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, by which he went and preached to the spirits, the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah. Now, where did he go? Did you know that there's somewhere in the transitional exchange between flesh man, which cannot enter in, he was meant to live forever. Adam was an eternal being in an eternal body. And when Eve did what she did, and Satan devised a plan to bring his genetic through the womb to live forever, Yahweh was forced in a highly skilled chess game, if you will, a genetic chess game. Yahweh had to counter by bringing a curse on it. He cursed the seed that was planted, should have been original, should have been eternal, and would have been. But Satan, getting the jump on the deal, he said, he sowed, he's the tare sower. The tare was there long before the wheat seed planted by Yahweh himself. And you say, oh, I take issue with that, Pastor Buddy. Well, I want to give you something to chew on. I chewed on this many a year and thought about it. Many days I've worked on the job. Doing my work, and it would be in my mind to think about these things. And the Bible said to meditate and think on these things, consider these things. I would fast and I would pray every chance I would get, and trying to understand. And here I finally found out in Genesis chapter 5, when I was talking about the offspring, I couldn't. I said, and Adam knew Eve. and she conceived. Well, both of those are a fact. Adam did know her. She did conceive. But was she already pregnant with the seed of the serpent and the seed of Yahweh before Adam ever knew Eve? Because in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Eve was so confused about the matter, when she bared Cain, this is what the original text said, and this is where it's helpful for you to have a Strong's. She said, I have gotten a man not from Yahweh, F-R-R-M, as it said, I've gotten a man from Yahweh. She said, I've gotten a man against Yahweh. This seed that I have bared will forever war against Yahweh. And it's a definite absolute that he was an offspring of the perfect one, the one that had iniquity in him. And Cain was of the wicked one, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And he was not pure. There was a flaw. Yahweh's seed had to be pure and unspotted, which is what he commands you to be, if so be that you belong to Yahweh. Like man, the angels were created perfect and with a free will. He asked them not to marry with the experiment on earth into the family of man. He told them, he said, don't marry. But Lucifer being a little flawed, he said, he got him. He said, You know what this old man Yahweh's doing? Well, it's in his mind to lay with Eve here and to get a spiritual body for the flesh man that will be eternal and is going to live forever. Why don't I just beat him to the punch? And I know that Yahweh's word is that the elder will receive the birthright. That means he will inherit paradise or heaven or eternal life. Satan thought that. He did not ever comprehend in a New York moment. He did not really believe that Yahweh would curse that seed, because when Yahweh cursed that seed, he cursed his own seed. You see what I mean? Abel was the son of Yahweh. It says so. It says that Adam was the son of Yahweh. So Abel and Adam were brothers. Their father being Yahweh. Cain, his father, was Satan. Son of man, take up a lamentation and say, thou sellest up the son of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden, the garden of God, with every precious stone, and every tree in the garden envied you. You are the anointed cherub, verse 14, Ezekiel 28, that covereth. Did you know that Yahweh covered Mary? The Bible said he overshadowed her. And she conceived. That was a sexual encounter. I don't know how that... I don't know whether it was penetration, like humans get women pregnant, but a seed was planted in her womb, and this, ladies and gentlemen, was Yahweh's offspring. In reality, the New Testament describes it as Yahweh performed an incredible feat of Isaiah the prophet, who is now taking up this lamentation in the 14th chapter that we'll get into here just in a minute. He says, thou was perfect in your ways, and in the day that thou was created, until iniquity was found within you, you either make the tree good or and the fruit good, or you either make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. Well, the tree of life, Yahweh, who was rejected by Eve, she received the tree of death before she ever received the tree of life. That's why that the outward man is dead. That's why he's got a curse put on him. And in doing so, Yahweh cursed his own seed. Are you with me tonight here in this episode of the origin of Satan? I hope you are. As we go into the earthen pearl, there is a fall. The earth is fell. The time of trouble, such as the world has never seen. And we're in such a condition here in the earth that we are prone to once again walk with the anointed cherub that covereth. You are in the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Do you believe that Satan is going to come back one more time when he's released out of his prison here in a few short years? And I give you a timeline. And you think he's going to walk the earth again just like he did back here in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel? I think so. Satan is not an earthly king, although he can influence of the flesh man, he can influence your mind. The carnal mind is the power that Satan had in its natural setting, and you automatically, in the carnal mind, think evil. You also think good. But you're so weak in the flesh, the Spirit's willing for you to be good. It's never willing for you to be evil, but the carnal mind enjoys sin so much, or at least it thinks it does. It sees beauty and it wants it. It sees money and it wants it. It sees power and it wants it. It envies it. And that's what the Bible said. It said, you envied. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were the most precious and the most beautiful among all the trees in the garden. Yahweh himself was comely. You know what comely means? He wasn't a handsome dude. You reckon he might have made himself that way just purposely? Because man looks on the beautiful things, and he always knew that. Hollywood is admired because the people are so beautiful. People are mesmerized when they watch television. They see beautiful people, and they just envy, and they can dream and pretend and fantasize. This is part of the carnal mind. Wouldn't you rather... You know, it's strange to say this, but when you hate those things and you detest those things, when you overcome the desire to be rich and famous, when you've got no longing to be rich because you know that the rich fall into many temptations, then why in the world would you want to heap upon yourself these troubles? When if you could stay pure and holy, like if you could go into a cave and stay there, that's about the only way you can be holy. I mean, when you have to contend with the world, I know that you sin every day in the flesh, man. We've all sinned and come short. However, there is a code and a covenant, and there is the word covering. It is from the Hebrew word kakake, and means to entwine, to fence in, to cover over, to pretend, or to protect or defend, to hedge in. It is the covering of the Holy Ghost that keeps you in perfection of the inward man. The outward man is nothing but a ball of dirt in sin, and it has its limitations. Now, if greater is he that is in you, that's the inward man now, not the outward man. And you yield to that power of the inward, that still small voice. But then you hear a mighty roaring voice of the carnal saying, oh my God, she's so beautiful, or he's so good looking. Or I could put these coins in my pocket and nobody would ever know it. I could steal this and get that. Or I could lie and cheat and get this. And I could get ahead and I'd have some peace. And once I get it, I'll be good. That's a devil line. The devil come to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. And Yahweh said to Satan, you are the anointed cherub. You was in the holy mountain. Every precious stone was your covering, but you were lifted up by the sum of your beauty and your wisdom. Lucifer's job was to protect the earth. He was the one that was given charge of. He's the God of this world. Not the earth now. Remember, there's a difference in the earth and the world. The system in the world, he traded his right to walk on the earth. He traded that to rule the earth. And in doing so, he was bound and removed And I'll tell you, I'm going to get into the New Testament to show you when that the Messiah died. He said it's finished. You know what happened there? A new courtroom, a new covenant, a new plan. And oh man, how he left the devil out in the cold with nothing but an empty law that had its teeth pulled, nailed to the torture stake, in other words. All of these accusing scriptures was nailed to the torture stake, and that Satan had used against the prince, the princes. And the Bible said that these that were disobedient in the days of Noah were found in the lower realms, and Yahweh went there and preached to them. They weren't dead. You can't die. I got amazing news for you. You will never die if you belong to Yahweh. I'm going to repeat that. You have eternal life, and you shall never die. You, your flesh man, your outward man, will die. But he's supposed to already be dead. And the Bible would describe that once your inward man rules in the kingdom, your old man is dead and reckoned to be dead. But you know, the first thing you know, if you don't keep him dead, I mean, the instincts of the flesh man, you walk by a pretty woman, or you walk by some tempting things, and you're just liable to reach out and grab something. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan knows how to attack the weakness of the outward man. He knew how to attack Eve. He knew she was a weaker vessel. Did you know the Bible describes a woman as a weaker vessel? Well, here's Satan, a handsome dude. She didn't know anything about reproduction. She didn't know that she could have a child that would look like him. And when she was told that she would, and she could, she's disheartened. And the word eat is Strong's number 398. And if you look at one of the descriptive terms of eat, E-A-T, it's a three-letter word, as opposed to L-A-Y. Did you know that the translators could have just as easily put in there, and she laid with Satan? She lay with Satan? She lay with Satan? He overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. And when Yahweh walked in the garden, Adam didn't know it. He was out doing other things. He didn't have an X-ray vision. He couldn't tell that the sperm had been planted. She had an appetite for the seed of Satan, the fruit of his body, that she could be a mother and could multiply it. Satan had that knowledge, but she didn't. She was given this knowledge, and in doing so, her eyes were opened. That's her natural eyes. The five senses. He stroked the five senses of the carnal. Did you know the Bible says that you would be better off if you're a man, that you'd be better off if you was to never marry a woman and give your strength to a woman? That's what the Bible said. Paul said it. Paul taught it. But every man can't bear that. And it also says for a woman, she's better off if she don't marry, because she sets herself to please Yahweh and not please her husband. Now, when she gets her husband, she has to please him, and she has to obey him. That's the rule. And in sorrow, she's going to bring forth children, and as soon as she is implanted with the seed, you see, she desires, she has a sexual appetite, and she wants to lay, not eat. Both terms are correct. Her physical body, the way she's made to receive the food that the male has called sperm, her body craves that. She desires that. It's something that they don't know exactly how it works. If a man could bottle that, and you could drink it, or you could eat it, you would be so rich and famous, because everyone in the world would want to have those wonderful experiences of electrical transference without the consequences. But the Bible put consequences of the deed, and that's why that we hide to have sex. You say, well, I don't hide. Well, I haven't seen you out on the street lately, although in some cities I hear that it's happening. But by nature itself, it teaches you that you're ashamed to do these things. even to have sex. You're ashamed to show your body in public. Well, some people are. In modest apparel, that's what the Bible says, and yet today the women are taking it all off and the men are loving it. And this is a part of the fire of the word that we're discussing here, the origin of Satan, to show you that he's bound. We're going to get into this in the mystery and go into Revelation chapter 20 to close this out Friday night. I'm going to give you the last part of this message, hopefully, that I can get it in. If we can take it up on Saturday night. But we would like to give you, and says, by the multitude of your merchandise. Verse 16, Ezekiel 28. I've got to go to 14 and 31, but even before we can get Revelation. By the multitude of your merchandise, you have lifted, or you have been filled in the midst of thee with violence. Satan is a violent person. I don't know where you know that. But he's so charming, it's like he's bipolar. And the devil really is bipolar. You have sinned, therefore I will cast you, listen now, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now remember, in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us, and in Jude chapter 1 there, it tells us that he was cast out, that he was profane. Oh my. Why was he cast out? Because heaven wanted to have a cleansing. And that's why in the Bible, of Isaiah 66, it says we're going to have a new heaven. Yahweh's going to make everything new because Satan's walked there. I mean, he's polluted it. He's profane. There's no extermination process that could cleanse for this evil being because of the beauty and the pride that's in him and the violence and the brightness of his wisdom and the profaneness of his actions. Yahweh's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Because he's going to have to burn it with fire. The heavens are going to be on fire. Not only is the earth going to be on fire, but let me show you something here. How is it that the tree that Moses saw and the angel speaking out of the tree, he saw the fire in the tree, and yet the tree was not consumed. How can that be? How can Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into a furnace heated seven times and have a protective covering that they didn't even have a smell of fire? What could void, what power could void and cause the earth to burn up and cause the heavens to burn with fervent heat, as it is expressed in Peter's Gospel? And yet, the mighty ones not be affected by it, and only a meltdown of the wicked who are going to be consumed in the fire, become fertilizer for the earth. I mean, purified ashes. Ashes thou art, dust thou art, and ashes shall you become, dust shall you become. And so be it, that the wicked, I shall cast you out. Because you was lifted up because of your beauty. Verse 17, let me hurry along here. You was lifted up because of your beauty. You was corrupted by your wisdom and by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. Remember, on your belly you shall go. Satan was cursed to the ground. What does that mean? That means that his genetics and offspring that he so wondrously and gorgeously and was so proud of, that Yahweh promised them that they would have no life, that they would live here, they would exist here, but they would die here and not inherit. Remember what he says in Matthew 13? He says, the good man that sowed, the sower that went forth to sow is the Son of Man. Yahweh was the Son of Man in a garden and sowed the good seed, and he produced Abel. Satan is the tare. And he sowed the bad seed. He produced Cain. And sin just then, these two factions, these two seeds, these two warring seeds, the serpent will bite your heel, and the other seed, the good seed, will bruise his head. And it's been a continuous genetic warfare. It's all about genetics here tonight. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Do not mix your bloodline. Stay true to Yahweh, and don't be lifted up because of brightness. Now, how does Satan fall? How does the fall fit into all of this that I've told you? He had to be cast down before Adam and Eve was created because he came in to tempt both of them. And to tempt and to prosecute and to persecute the seed of the offspring. By his own offspring, who go about seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've told you in this series that the pearls of the planet were coming into World War III. We're headed for Armageddon. We're talking about a war, to end our war. Now, we're going to move quickly over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Listen to Yahweh as he continues to reveal the origin of Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? I will cut off the root of the serpent. You see, he used that root in the garden to bring forth a son. And the promise eventually now, because Satan still got a bunch of seed here. He began to multiply and build cities and go forth and conquer and to tempt and to kill and to steal and destroy and to count your money and to steal your blessings. We got it going on today. You're cut down to the ground. You weaken the nations. What's the nations? That's a genetic bloodline. For thy said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Here is the reason. Isaiah 14, verse 12 and 13, 14 and 15. Notice this. For thou hast said in thine heart. See, he had a conspiracy plan before he ever walked into the garden. This was in his heart before he had already failed in the garden. He was already a fallen one. He hadn't failed here in Revelation chapter 20 where it says, or chapter 12 where it said Satan fell from heaven along with his angels. Here he says, in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, he was on the earth in the garden, but he had a plan to take his genetics and rule. And Yahweh came down in Genesis chapter 6, and here's what he said himself. If we, talking to his angels that remain loyal, if we let them alone, that's the one-third of angels with Satan and his power and their offspring, if we let them alone, nothing will be restrained from their ability. They shall build a tower. This is a technology that they could traverse and go right back into the heavens, and they could war, which are doing, have done, and will continue to do, and the final galactic war that is going to be fought will be from the heavens down to earth in the final battle of Armageddon. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars? Who's the stars? You see, our carnal mind will say, "Oh, that's out there in the stars where God lives." Ladies and gentlemen, the stars are the fallen ones. If you spell it backwards, it's rats. If you take the word star, S-T-A-R, and reverse it, you got a rat or rats in the plural. And Satan became, he was a beautiful cherub. He was a covering cherub. He was the anointed one. He had nine of the 12 stones for his covering. He was second in command. He was a mighty one. But in his heart, he said in his heart, I will come in and take this prototype that Yahweh has made here, this beautiful woman. I will lay with her. I will L-A-Y rather than E-A-T. He laid with her, impregnated her. Now let me give you something to chew on, like I said a while ago, and let me fulfill my promise to you. If you go to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis and look at the genealogy downline of Adam, and if you really believe that Adam fathered Cain and Abel, and 99% of the Christians do, well then let me give you something to think about. If you look at the timeline of the genetics, Seth was the first son of Adam's strength and his likeness. Now, it says that Enoch was the seventh descendant from Adam. If you count from Adam down to Enoch, you get seven. If you include Cain and Abel, they're not mentioned there, by the way, but if you was to count them, it would be nine. Does Yahweh lie? Is the genetics wrong? Or the genealogy? I don't think so. The other two sons were prototypes. Cain was a prototype of evil, and Abel was a prototype of righteousness. These were the trees that Yahweh said, one of them is made good and one of them is made bad. Now from that, we have the prototypes of the offspring, and now we have a Duke's mixture of all of the bloodlines upon the earth now are mixing together like snakes. Satan is trying to genetically make it so complicated for the father that the souls of his being and his beings get entwined in genetics that they can never unravel through karma. Because Satan wants to extend the agony, because he knows until all of us become perfect, until all of us overcome, that Yahweh would be long-suffering, not willing that any of his children could be caught up and be and perish in this, and so go through these karmatic cycles, and Satan is doing his best to prolong the coming agony of his final absolute defeat at Armageddon. That's why he's coming to bring the chief captains and the mighty ones in the heavens, when they come down, they're together the kings of the earth, these physical men that have got these atomic weapons. Even Yahweh himself can imagine that if he don't shorten the days of flesh, ain't no flesh going to be saved. You better take that into consideration. Man is mighty, and he's literally going to be found fighting against Yahweh and his angels. And that's the final. I'll try to cover that. Probably I'll have to cover that Friday night and Saturday night, but I will. I promise you I'll cover this. I can't leave you hanging here. Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Because it says, notice this, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend in heaven. Satan wanted to be God. If you look at the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I want you to turn there. Satan has become the god of this world. And in Revelations 20 and 10, it tells us that he will be eternally punished because he will be brought down to the sides of the pit. In Isaiah 14, verse 15, when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, the angels that fell were cast out with him. Revelations 12, verse 4 through 9. But it, when you read it in Revelations, the fact that you can't read it in Genesis, you should be able to conceive that Satan and his angels were already fallen in Genesis 1 and 1. When he said, let there be light, and the earth became dark and void, that was a continuous process of Satan and his evil ones doing what they do best, was to kill, steal, and destroy, and to pervert, and to profane. So this has been a genetic war, and that's why that when Adam came over here as a replenisher, be fruitful, and he didn't say, the translator could say, replace. Have children and replace the ones that were here that Satan destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have these facts, like I said, about the ones that were disobedient in the days of Noah. They were disobedient. And they were sent down. down to a lower part. But they were redeemed by the preaching of the Messiah, because it would have been wrong for him to come and give you a plan here in the last days, 2,000 years ago, when he gave us the plan of righteousness of eternal life. It would have been wrong for him to have done that and to miss the dead or those who had passed on, who were kept in a place, and only he knew that. Praise Yahweh for his wisdom. Praise Yahweh. You may not know anything about these mysteries, and I may not know anything about them, but he does, and he'll reveal them to you if you'll love him. No, Seth. And the tale of the serpent. The tale of the serpent. He drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's an angelic being. And he cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. He was here waiting. He knew the plan. That just as soon as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace was born, that there would be a genetic battle. And it was carrying on from the very point go of the very beginning of eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in one of the most awesome battles, spiritually speaking, that has ever been upon this planet. Yahweh, he's coming soon to give you the love and the joy and the peace that you deserve. And I've got to get out of here because my time is gone, and that's a cue for me to give you my address and tell you tonight I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-800 or 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Gary, one of the most intelligent men that I've ever had the pleasure. He's been a dear blessing to me down through the many years that he and I have labored here abundantly on WWCR and WWRB. Now we're exclusively on WWRB. And Dr. Gary has been my primary sponsor. 1-800 or 1-877-289-7439. Give him a call between the hours of 9 to 5 in Central Time. Brother Paul is up in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. And for those who tithe for my ministry, to hold my hands up, that I can fast and pray, and that I can search the scriptures here daily, and to give you a message of hope and comfort. And I hope and trust, praise Yahweh, that I've done that, and that you would understand the great mysteries of the pearls of our planet. In the last days, the perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own self. You see that? Satanic. He loved himself. He was lifted up for pride and the brightness of his beauty. We love pretty things. The rich and the powerful, we envy them. We just sit every day and long to be rich. And the Bible said the rich fall into temptation. Just give me enough, Yahweh, to survive this world. Give me enough, Father, to have the necessary things, lest I curse you. Don't make me too poor, lest I curse you. Don't give me too much, lest I forget you. Just give me the abundance of your blessings. And give me brothers and sisters that I can love and fellowship and have a joy when I speak to them. Yahweh's so good to you. You can call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, Pastor Buddies, all you need, at Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee. That's 423-626-2172. That's my telephone number. But area code 423-626-2172. And my mailing address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Caswell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Let him hold you in his hand. Come near to him. Draw near to him. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Love me and I'll love you. Reject me and I'll reject you. Turn away from me and I'll turn away from you. I'll turn you over to reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned if you don't love me. Stay close. close to him, walk close to him, don't be cast out as profane like Satan was. He thought he had it in a tight shot group. He thought he was something. When you begin to think you're something, you're nothing. But when you pray and stay humble, Yahweh will provide you. He will take care of you. He'll walk with you like he did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Adam. He'll give you the sure mercies of David. He will stand with you. He won't forsake you in the sixth hour. He'll go with you in the seventh. And oh my, how wonderful it is. Well, I love you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I promise you, I'll be back a Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 8:30 Central. I'll be back with a part five of A Perilous Times. Brother Bob, our webmaster, will have this program up. He's right up to snuff. And he's got everything posted here. All the sermons that we've done for 209 are posted on the Internet. All the sermons that we've done since 201 are up there free of charge. We also have a simulcasting website at our website, oneyahweh.com. You can just click on that, and it'll play messages 24/7. If you'd like to hear Pastor Buddy that much, you can tune in. You can select the files by just going to the website, oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob has provided all this through his love and his labor. Man, how he likes to work for Yahweh. And there's a reward for them that will labor with him while it's light. Walk while you've got the light. Don't walk with Satan, who pretends to be the light, but walk in Yahweh's word, and you will be the light of the world. I'll see ya.